This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Amanda Weller, introducing our guests and presenters this week. Our next guest is Eleanor Ramona, who talks to me about her mental health journey and her decision to go public about it.
Hello,
Eleanor.
Hello again. How are you?
Really, I'm very well, thank you. I'm so pleased to have you back here.
Thank you.
When you came on before, you came on to talk about your music, but I contacted you the other day because I saw on Instagram that you have gone public about your mental health journey, and this is clearly a top priority for you. And I just thought this is so amazing, and I wanted to find out more and see if we could share some of what you're doing with our Brooklyn's Radio listeners. So thank you so much for coming on to do that. I suppose the first thing I'd really like to ask you is, could you sort of take us through what's happened with you and your journey? And also, was there a moment that sparked your decision to go public? All of that.
Absolutely. So as we've discussed before in our interviews before, I was brought up on the Greek island of Skiathos, Mamma Mia Island. I came to the UK at 10 years old to study in the UK. Mum's English dad was Greek, so there was a big culture shock when I came to the UK, a big culture shock. And I believe that's where sort of a lot of my issues started mental health-wise. A lot of my behaviour was very different to a lot of the children there. I sort of stood out a little bit and I rebelled a lot. I was quite the character, I still am. and this kind of, it ruffled a few feathers. And back in that day when I was a student, it was very different to now. So there wasn't that mental health support for children. There wasn't that guide to say, actually, you know what, it's okay not to be okay. We weren't really told to talk about it. And this really affected me because I wanted to share it. I just didn't know how. And there was a lot of things that sort of happened throughout my time at that school, which weren't very pleasant. I didn't enjoy my time very much there. There was other things there that I really did enjoy. It was very contrasting. You know, I'd learned a lot of life lessons. I learned a lot of things that I probably wouldn't have learned if I was back home in Greece. So I am grateful for that. My family did whatever they could best by me and my brother. They was always very supportive of what we did and what we wanted to do. And that brought me to Guildford to do music at the Academy of Contemporary Music. And again, if I hadn't gone to that school and been in the UK, I would never have known about Guildford. I've never have been able to pursue my dream. So I always think everything happens for a reason, even if it's a negative. I always feel like, you know what, I didn't have a great time, but I'm here now. And that's part of my journey. And that's one of the reasons why I'm, I guess, going publicly with my mental health, going on that topic, going public with it. Back in 2019, I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, also known as emotionally unstable personality disorder in the UK. And this woke me up a little bit. This kind of made sense of so many things that were going wrong in my life, so many things that kept going back to again and kept happening again. And for me, it was like the turning point. It was like the, okay, it's not just me being reckless or me being nasty to somebody. There's an explanation. It's not an excuse, but it's an explanation behind my behavior and what's going on. And it really helped me. I got the right help as well. I found the right support through that. And I guess going public for me was the main reason I wanted to do it, was because I was hiding behind a mask for so long. Even during my time when I came to see you, I was sort of giving everyone the best of me, not the rest of me. And that's how I always say it. And, you know, and I just feel like enough is enough. I'm done with that. I want to showcase the good parts, the ugly parts and the sad parts to help other people. And the main reason is because I want, potentially there might be someone out there like me when I was in school or me when I was at college that needs that person to go, you know what, you're going to be okay. And me potentially talking about my mental health so openly might help someone else realize, oh, I feel like that. Maybe I should go and get myself diagnosed with a professional as well. Maybe I should speak to my GP. And that's all what it's about. It's about talking about it. And I don't feel like borderline personality is talked about enough. I think that it's portrayed quite badly in films. It's really like we're psychotic killers, and that's how we're portrayed. And it's quite nasty, actually, the way that we are portrayed, and we're not. Not all of us, anyway. And I feel like there's such a spectrum of this personality disorder. It's 265 combinations of this you can have. No one's the same.
No. So in general terms, what are the main things that you have to deal with then?
For me, on a day-to-day basis, it's emotions. My issue is emotions, irregular emotions. So one morning I could wake up really angry for no reason. I don't know why. My phone might ring. It might be a colleague. It might be my family. And I will just be angry that my phone's ringing for no reason. And then later down the day, I will be manic. I'll be really ecstatic and happy and like, oh my goodness me, everything is amazing. But to the point, you know, when you're like overly excited, that is me on a normal happy day. And then there's some days where I can't get out of bed. And working from home has really helped that with me because I'm able to work at home and not in an office environment. So I can do my job to the best of my ability. I'm still really on it at work. This disorder kind of cripples you. It's like, imagine like you're in a wheelchair, but you can walk, but sometimes you have to sit down and you have to be in a wheelchair sometimes. That's how I would explain it to someone who didn't know what it was like. So we have the ability, just like everyone else, to do everyday things. We can work, we can hold conversations. As you can see, we're very good at hiding our issues as well. We're chameleons, so we can sit there and have a conversation with you and you wouldn't know anything was wrong. And that is another reason why I want to raise awareness, because not many people knew that there was anything wrong with me. And that for me was difficult, because actually there is, and that's okay. I'm not ashamed to say that there is, and that's not a negative. Actually, it's a positive, because I'm getting the right help to maintain and to regulate and understand it. And I feel like the more people talk about these disorders and about these sort of stigmas, the more we can sort of work towards actually making it as common as talking about a common cold, getting everyone the help, because there's so many suicides with mental health. There's so many people, especially with borderline personality, you can get to that point where you feel so low that you have these horrible thoughts, and then you suddenly feel like the top of the world about half an hour later to an hour, maybe a day later, depends on the person. But there's this whole stigma of mental health and talking about suicide openly, talking about it openly. And especially in these times, I have quite a few friends who suffer with the same disorder as me, or similar disorders as me. And we're worried to talk about it because it's a taboo, unfortunately. And it still is to an extent. There still is an issue. I remember when I was in school, they thought I had ADHD, and then the symptoms just didn't go away. So when I got older, these symptoms were still going on, and the borderline personality disorder doesn't get diagnosed until you're about maybe mid-20s to 30s normally, because the characteristics are potentially that of a hormonal teenager. And when you're 30, you shouldn't be like that. So at that point, the specialist then can go, let's sit you back down. Let's see what's actually going on. And for me, it was like the best moment ever to know what was going on. And I feel like there's a lot of people out there that would benefit knowing what was going on with themselves, because that light bulb moment, that oh my goodness, that's what it is, really helped me. You know, I've got books, I'm educating myself, I'm educating my family, all my friends. I'm very lucky, all my friends are on board and we're supporting each other through. I'm supporting them with my needs and they're supporting me, and I couldn't really ask for a better unit. Talking of that, I work at a mental health charity as well myself. And my work colleagues are absolutely amazing. They all know that some days I might not be as talkative, and that's fine as long as I get the job done, as long as the clients are being seen to and their needs are being met, they're happy and I'm happy. So I'm really grateful for where I am at the moment with my workplace as well. They're very understanding, very forthcoming with my needs, and they will give me that extra little bit of time to sit down if I need to just breathe. And my manager checks in with me every day, really, because we're working from home. He just wants to make sure I'm all right. And again, if you're listening, I'm really grateful for that, because it just keeps me on track and it keeps me grounded, knowing that there's that check-in as well every day.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. But what a long journey, actually. What a long time to be oscillating like that.
It was a very long time. It feels like a lifetime ago, really. If I think about it, it feels like me undiagnosed was a different person because I didn't have that guide, and me diagnosed as this person who's still struggling, still finding their feet. But there's almost that map now that I can look at if I need any help. Or I've got I'm in therapy every week, actually, on a Wednesday. And in that therapy, it's great because I can ask the questions I need to ask. I'm in the right therapy this time. I was in a few different therapies over the years. I mean, I've been in the mental health system probably since I was about 20, a long time. And now I've got the right therapy and I'm asking the right questions. And I'm so open about it, because the main reason is because I want to help others, because I know what it feels like to be in that position where you've got your blinkers on, you're blinded and you don't know where to go. Mm. And if there's anyone out there that feels the same as me, you're not on your own. Talk to somebody. Make sure you reach out to people. If you don't feel like you can talk to people, send a text, send an email. There's other ways you can communicate now. Just reach out before it's too late and this thing takes over you. Because I was getting to that point where back in 2019, I had a really bad turn and I was having panic attacks every day. I was feeling really low, really horrible. Honestly, I'd wake up and I'd feel like my heart was about to drop out and I couldn't explain it. And going to A&E a lot as well with my mental health. And suddenly they said, right, we're going to take you now to the specialist because this is going on a lot. And I'm so grateful that I did that. I'm so grateful that I actually went to these people and said, you know what, I'm not okay. Because it's so hard, especially being in the limelight, especially being a musician, a mental health worker. You know, we are human too. Like, we have feelings as well. And if anything, we have more because we're out there performing and our hearts are on our sleeves all the time because we're, you know, showing everyone what's inside of us. And that's our music and our craft. And I feel like being on the public eye is quite difficult as well somewhat because you've got all these people sort of like expecting you to be a certain way, maybe expecting you to look a certain way and act a certain way. And actually, I believe we sort of touched base again after I posted something on Instagram that you saw and you commented, and I'm really grateful for you reaching out to me with that one. And the reason for that post is because I wanted to show people, you know what, this is how I feel as well. And this is how,
yes, I think
this is a normal human emotion.
Was, I can't remember which one it was now, because you've written several posts that really grabbed my attention. But there was one lovely one, well, lovely in the sense of very
real.
it really did what you're intending to do, which was two pictures posted in one post. One half of the picture was you 2 hours before the second one, and the first one was you looking quite happily and confidently into the camera. And the next one was with this big tear rolling down your face and a slightly red nose because you'd obviously been bawling your eyes out for a while. And,
absolutely.
You know, that was so, well, you know, pictures can say 1,000 words, can't they, and all of that. So, and that picture really did it. And so, you know, it's very powerful stuff going public.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a decision that's taken me a while because I always feel like there will be some criticism somewhere, and that's okay because everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Everyone's opinion is valid, and I will always go behind that. But I feel like enough was enough in my head. Before COVID, actually, I got quite trigger happy and I got quite greedy. I got quite lost in my own head. I've always wanted to show this really important, good image of myself, and that's like under the context of not ever showing emotion or not ever showing like a real person, let's say, because I've sort of almost followed the celebrity's footsteps, which is show perfection, show this, show that. And I've got to the point, you know what, I'm not this person, these people aren't like this, and I feel so much more happier. I feel like so much more powerful in myself and empowered because I've gone, I'm now who I want to be, and if people don't like it, they can click that unfollow button, and that's fine, that's okay. And before lockdown, I was feeling like, oh, I need to do, I was giving myself too much pressure. I was pressuring myself to look a certain way. I was pressuring myself to post posts that were not very human, if you know what I mean. I was pressuring myself to release songs and get them on Radio 1 straight away, and you know, and it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work, that's not reality. And it was taking its toll on me. And you know what? Once they called the first lockdown, I was so relieved because it was almost my time to go, slow down, think about this. What do you want? What do you want out of this?
That was another post that I saw. You wrote a lovely post about your experiences in lockdown that I think started the year 2020.
I absolutely needed it. I needed 2020. And going back to the social media aspect of things, there's so many negative posts about 2020. I wanted to share that actually without 2020, would I have still been on that hamster wheel going round and round, confusing myself? And another reason why I've taken a look back and I've gone, I don't want to be famous anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to sort of make impacts with fame and things like that. I think one of the reasons why I wanted to become famous in the first place was to be noticed by all these people from school who didn't notice me. And I had that eureka moment.
Right.
And now I feel so much calmer with it all. I feel so much more at peace with it all. Talking of different things that I'm doing, I'm also competing in Miss Great Britain in the finals in 2021. And one
which
of the,
is amazing, because actually, again, that's actually a lot of pressure. You've got the whole kind of model side of it, the physical side of it,
yes,
let alone everything else. And I mean, so that's an interesting contrast, isn't it?
It is. It's quite contrasting and it's quite controversial. A lot of people have gone, but you're a musician. And again, the reason I want to do it is to show those people that don't feel good enough that they are, because I'm 5'4". I'm a size 12 to 14. I'm an average size in the UK. And I want to show the majority of women and men that you can do what you want to do. You can be who you want to be. And you don't let anyone get in your way. And if I had someone like myself when I was in school growing up saying to me, you know what, just do you. Just literally simply just do what you need to do. I probably would have been a lot better off, and I probably wouldn't have done half the naughty things I did. I probably wouldn't have been in that much trouble because I would have had a guardian and a guide. And I feel like a lot of young people don't have that. And if I can be that person I needed when I was growing up, even to that one person, I'm done. I've made it. That's better than any Wembley Stadium sold out gig, in my opinion, because that person needed someone like me, or needed someone else, but I guided them potentially to that person. And that for me is enough. And this is why I'm going public with it all. I'm posting a lot more about borderline personality to educate people, to also break the stigma, but to also show myself that it's okay. It's not a label. It's what's going on, and it is what it is. And it's a positive, because it explains so much to me. Excuse me. It explains so much to me about why I do what I do, you know, and I needed that as well. And without 2020, would I have done this? Probably not.
So the other thing, of course, is the issue with something like Miss Great Britain, of the pressure to be a certain size or shape, yeah, and eating disorders, which I know is something, again, that is close to your heart.
Yeah.
Yes. What would you advise on that one?
So when I was 19 to about 21, I was, in inverted commas, dying to be thin. I wouldn't eat. I was taking laxatives every day, and I was really giving my body a hard time. And something in me just went, you know what? I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And I was painfully thin. This post that we were talking about before, it's on Instagram as well, of me discussing eating disorders. And in these times, I feel triggered by them. I feel triggered by all this, you know, get exercising, don't get large and not down. It's difficult. And going back to the Miss Great Britain topic, just do you, be who you are. Another reason why I'm going into this this competition is I'm not by any means a slim figure at all. I'm an average size, you know, and I'm happy with that. I'm strong, I'm healthy, and I want to promote that through the competition. A healthy body image to me is important, because it's not just what you see on the outside, it's on the inside. Your body, your organs are all healthy. And at that point, when I was, I think I must have been about 22, I was green. Honestly, my colour had gone from my face, and my mum was all the way in Greece, really, really scared. And that was the point that I said, what am I doing? I'm scaring my family. I'm scaring myself. I couldn't get up and walk around. I was very frail.
That week.
And yeah. And I remember thinking, I'm 20. What am I doing? And there was something in me that just went, no,
enough.
I don't want this. And then I started exercising, lighter exercise, but I started eating. I started appreciating myself. And you know what? A lot of people aren't as lucky as me, unfortunately. And that's another reason why I go out there and I talk about it so openly, because eating disorders, they're definitely still a thing, especially with the media, especially with that whole, you need to look a certain way, act a certain way. Going back on that topic briefly, it's difficult for people, yeah, especially with social media at the moment. And even young women like me who aren't large or whatever, we still get stick for our size. Like, I've still been called fat, even this size. And it gets me. I've learned to just throw it away. And that's something I will say, that eating disorders, they never leave you. They will always be there, but you just learn how to just calm the monster down, and you're stronger than that.
Yeah. This was a post, if anyone listening wants to have a look, on your Instagram feed, dated the 30th of September, which I find was a very powerful one. Thank you so much for coming on. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
I'm on Instagram, Eleanor Ramona Official on Instagram. I've got everything on there. Just send me an email on there and I'll get back to you. 100%.
That's wonderful. So that's Eleanor, E-L-E-N-A, Ramona, R-A-M-O-N-A, Official. I look forward to catching up with you again.
Absolutely. Have a great one. Have a great one. Thank you for your time.
You too. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.